Each of our lives consists of the total number of choices we have made. You choose your friends, and the kinds of friends you choose influence who you become. You choose to obey or disobey your parents, and you live with the outcome of those choices. You choose what to do in your free time. You choose the places you go. You choose the sort of things you read, the things you watch. When you're on the internet, you choose what sites to enter, and all of these sites together have a message which affect and influence you. We choose to pursue interests which align and conform to the Word of God and the will of God, and those which do not. You choose what you spend your money on. Largely, you choose how you make your money, and you can often make more of it by sacrificing principles of integrity. You choose where you travel, whose voice you listen to, what pictures and videos you watch, and all your choices in life make up what you are, or rather reveal what you are. And that includes your children as well. We will consider a person who did not choose well when he was younger, and how his choice when younger influenced him in his future. This person started out with the greatest privileges of almost anyone who has ever lived. This person's grandpa was Abraham. Now, Abraham lived about 4,000 years ago. If you're a believer, Abraham is your father. Romans 14 says, Abraham is father of us all, speaking of believers. And those of us who know the history of our evangelical faith know of the Protestant Reformation, which occurred about 500 years ago. The Reformation was the recovery of the true gospel, and an important teaching that resulted from the Protestant Reformation was the five solas of the Reformation. In Latin, sola means alone or only. Now, this is a little difficult question, maybe, but can anyone tell me one of the five solas?
Sola fide.
Sola fide. Very good. Any more? Paul.
Sola gratia.
Sola gratia. Go ahead, Paul.
Sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura. Sola Christus. Sola Deo Gloria. Who said that? Okay, thank you. Very good. Sola fide. Only by faith. Sola scriptura, only by the word of God. Sola gratia, only by grace. Sola Christus, only through Christ. And sola Deo Gloria, only for the glory of God. Now, Abraham lived 3,500 years before the Protestant Reformation. But he believed in the five solas. Only by faith, sola fide. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Sola scriptura, by the word of God alone. Abraham believed the words God spoke to him. He left his home and family to go to a land that God called him to, based only on God's word. Sola gratia, by the grace of God alone. Adam knew what he received from God was only from God's grace. Not because of what he deserved, and not because of his own merit. Abraham was not of the opinion that he deserved the good things that God gave him. Sola Christus, by Christ alone. Now we know, if you know math, Abraham lived 2,000 years before Christ. So, Abraham did not have a full understanding of Christ and the message of Christ like we do. But he believed in Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Jesus said in John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the last is sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. Abraham obediently left his people and the land he was accustomed to, where he grew up, to go to a land he didn't know, believing the word of God for the glory of God alone. He just wanted to follow whatever God says, and whatever God says, he was going to do it. Now, imagine having one of the greatest heroes of the faith as your grandpa. Boys and girls, many of you have parents here who I consider to be heroes of the faith today. Many of you have both a mom and a dad who believe in Jesus Christ and order your family according to what the Bible says. You are some of the most privileged children on the whole earth. Not many children have what you have. It is a great privilege not to be despised to have godly Christian parents. Some of you may be thinking, but my parents are way too strict. If your parents are telling you that you cannot have so-and-so as your friend, that you cannot stay out past such and such a time, that you may not go to a certain place, your internet privileges are limited and accountable. That means your parents know what you're watching. That you cannot go out until you are so old, and you cannot go out with so-and-so. You may not use certain kinds of speech that the other kids use. Thank God for your parents. Believe it or not, maybe some hard for some of you to think this, but your parents are wiser than you. And they were children too at one time, so they know what they're talking about. So when you kids pray to God, one of the things you can thank God for is say to God, thank you, God, for the parents you have given me. The person we're considering today had privileges somewhat like you children do. His parents believed God. His name was Esau. We can learn from good examples in the Bible, and we can learn also from bad examples. Esau was a bad example. Let's read about him in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25. I'm going to be reading a fair amount of scripture today. 25 verses 19 to the end of the chapter. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her. And she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red. His whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau, which may mean hairy. After this, his brother came out in his hand, grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, which means grasping or deceptive. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good's the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Esau belonged to the people of God. Esau was circumcised, which was an outward sign of belonging to the people of God. Esau was blessed, and Esau was privileged. His father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham believed in God. He was taught God's ways from his youth. The question is, did he love and follow those ways? Did Esau believe the God of his parents and his grandparents? Do you believe the God of your parents? Now, in the household of Isaac and Rebekah, his parents, things were not all that well. We read that Isaac loved Esau, who was a hunter, and Rebekah loved Jacob, who was a peaceful homeboy. His parents played favorites, and that's not a good thing. One day, when Esau came in from hunting, as usual, Jacob was at the stove, as usual, cooking up a delicious pot of stew. Esau was exhausted, and he was hungry, very hungry from a long day of hunting. He smelled the delicious stew. He wanted it. Now, Jacob was a clever fellow. He decided he would offer a trade. "My stew for your birthright. A bowl of stew for your inheritance." Esau was exhausted from a long day of hunting and felt very hungry. But he over-exaggerated his desire for food. Sure, he was hungry, really hungry. But was he really about to die? Jake was hungry too. That's why he was making stew. They were both hungry. Let's think about this for a minute. They're both hungry. They both want the stew. They're both grandchildren of Abraham, both children of Isaac, right? What's the difference? Esau was the firstborn. Esau gets first dibs on the inheritance. Jacob knows this. They both know this. Esau gets the blessing, and Jacob gets what's left over. Jacob doesn't want the leftover. He wants the blessing. At this moment, Esau does not care about his birthright. The only thing in Esau's mind right now is, "I am hungry. I will give up my future to feed my body right now." Now, just what was the blessing Abraham had from God that he would pass down to Isaac and from Isaac to Esau? In Genesis chapter 17, we can read that together too. Genesis 17, verses 5 to 8. God speaking. Genesis 17, 5. I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God. God made a generational promise, an everlasting promise, to Abraham to be his God and the God of his descendants. Jacob is saying, I want this promise. I certainly want this promise more than a bowl of stew. Esau is saying, I don't care about this promise. I will trade it for a bowl of stew. Now, the birthright was more than being blessed or powerful or owning a piece of real estate. It was God's promise to be your God and the God of your children. It was actually a promise of salvation. Esau freely, willingly traded his birthright for the temporary pleasure of a full stomach. And he got what he wanted. Esau got a temporary pleasure. And Esau lost what he did not want, a permanent treasure. My first point is, do not give up everlasting treasures for temporary pleasures. I don't know of a more foolish thing than to give up an everlasting treasure to gain a temporary pleasure. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. This world only offers you temporary pleasures. Think of the best things this world can offer you. What would they be? The things the world offers. Go ahead. Camaros, yeah, okay. Things, yeah. What does the world offer us? Money, wealth, right? Riches, yep, with riches and wealth. What else?
Power.
What else does the world offer us?
Fame,
right. And what else? Fun. Pleasure, right? How many of these are everlasting?
None.
These things come and these things go. If what you live for is for temporary pleasure, then everlasting treasure is not what you will inherit. But if you live for everlasting treasures found in Jesus Christ, you can also enjoy temporary pleasures. It's not necessarily a sin to have temporary pleasures. But the world's pleasures must not be the goal and focus of your life. If your goal and aim are the eternal treasures found in Jesus Christ, you will also inherit permanent pleasures. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus Christ offers you everlasting treasures in himself. Freedom from the bondage to sin. Peace with God. Only in Jesus is found the way, the truth, and the life. Everlasting truth, everlasting life are found only in Jesus Christ. No one else can offer you this. The best the world offers you is temporary pleasure. Now, Jacob greatly desired Esau's birthright, and he made a deal to obtain what he considered valuable treasure. And Esau said, verse 32, I'm about to die. What use is a birthright to me? Esau was not thinking rightly, was he? He was not about to die. Esau's priorities were all messed up. Esau just felt hungry and exhausted. The importance of satisfying his appetite was high on his list. The thought of God being his God was low on his list. Esau let his bodily desires and his feelings override right choices. Jacob, however, considered his appetite low on his list compared to the great gain of the promise of God being his God. Exactly the opposite values of his brother. Jacob and Esau were both hungry, but Esau gave in to his bodily appetites and traded permanent treasures for temporary pleasures. Jacob did not. If you just give in to whatever you feel like at the moment, you're an undisciplined person. Our body sometimes tells us things we should not give in to. Sometimes our bodies tell us to give in to desires that are sinful. We know we should say no to sinful desires, but sometimes we say yes. Children, should Esau have traded his birthright for a bowl of stew? Louder? No, absolutely not. Esau should have said, no, I will not trade my birthright for a bowl of stew. That's foolish. But Esau traded away everlasting treasures for temporary pleasures. Verse 34 says, Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank. He rose up and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Who despises and gives up their inheritance for a bowl of stew? Only a foolish person with upside down values. And who gives up salvation found only in Jesus Christ and eternal life to gain the temporary pleasures of this world? Someone who despises that which is of great value. Let's read the rest of the story in Genesis 27, or the result of the story. It's a long reading, but it's the story. Genesis 27, 1 to 38. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully. Do what I tell you. Go out to the flock. Bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man. And I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older brother, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part of his neck and with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son, Esau, or not. Jacob went close to his father, Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy, like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son, Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, sit up, eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He deceived me these 2 times. He took my birthright. He's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you and have made all his relatives and his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only 1 blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. The sad thing is that bad choices bring bad results, and really bad choices bring really bad results. If we want to avoid a bad outcome, we must not make a bad choice to begin with. Hebrews 12:16 and 17 says this: see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Past decisions influence future outcomes. The second point is, past decisions influence future outcomes. The time to change is now. Repent. Some decisions we make have harmless outcomes. And some decisions we make affect us greatly, even to eternity. What we do with Jesus Christ affects us for eternity. How do we not let poor decisions of the past affect our future? The answer is to repent. Acknowledge the mistakes, sins, and failures of the past and turn away from them. Sorry. For example, if a young lady loses her virginity before marriage, she's not getting it back. Her virginity is lost. But she should not be thinking, it is lost, I can't recover it, so it's okay to continue in it. No, she should repent and determine not to continue this action. Do not let past sins and mistakes dictate your future. In a way, Esau was sorry. But Esau was only sorry in a way that a thief who gets caught is sorry. He comes before the judge and says, I stole. I got caught. I'm sorry. The judge says, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry, I'm going to jail. He's not sorry for his wrong actions. He's just sorry for the outcome of his actions. He's not sorry he stole. He did not repent. Once he serves his time, what's he going to do? He's going to steal again. Esau was sorry his brother got the blessing instead of him. But Esau was not sorry he despised it in the first place. Esau never truly repented, even when he was crying over his loss. We know another example in the Bible of a young man who made a really bad decision about his inheritance. The prodigal son demanded his inheritance from his father even before his father dies. That in itself was a rebellious act. He leaves home and spends his whole inheritance on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He wasted his whole inheritance on temporary pleasures. Now he's penniless, friendless, and ends up feeding pigs, which for a Jew is a very, very demeaning task. He even wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. Then he remembers, everyone in my father's house has it good. The Bible says he came to himself. He came to his senses. He repented. Repentance is a turning away from the direction you are going. This son turned around and walked that lonely road back to his father, the same path he took to escape his father. His first four words were, Father, I have sinned. His father received him joyfully with open arms and threw a banquet for him. The prodigal genuinely repented and was fully restored. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, receives and forgives every repentant sinner who comes to him. There is joy in his presence when a sinner repents. But Esau never repents. Esau never changes. His life is a mess. He was angry with his brother, understandably so, and wanted to kill him, but not while his father was living. He was hateful, vengeful, and resentful. He goes out to meet his brother years later with 400 men, ready to execute vengeance. Esau also dishonored his parents. Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35 say this. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau's parents were full of sorrow because Esau married two Hittite women. Hittites were not the people of God. Marrying an unbeliever is probably the most foolish decision one can make in their life, besides turning away from God. Esau had a low regard for the will of God and the proper desires of his parents. That is so sad. Esau never repented, and he perished in his sin. What temporary pleasures of this life is the enemy of your soul dangling in front of your eyes? What sensual pleasure and gratification does the enemy of your soul use to snare you? What temporary pleasure this world offers you is worth being separated from God forever? There is none. It appears Esau presumed on God. Esau somehow presumed that he could have the world and its pleasures, the sin in his life, and at the end, have God's blessing too. God is merciful, but Esau presumed on God's mercy. Esau thought he could despise God and the things of God while young and still get the blessing of God when he was older. This is a big presumption and a big mistake. I'll read again Hebrews 12, 16, 17. Esau was a godless, immoral person who sold his birthright for a single meal. At the end of his life, when he wanted to repent, even seeking repentance with tears, he could not. Esau could not find genuine repentance at the end of his life. He thought repentance was always in the palm of his hand. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." Esau never sorrowed over his sin. Esau only had worldly sorrow, sorrow that his brother got what he wanted and should have been his. Not godly sorrow over sin that leads to repentance. The time to repent is now. How many people have made the decision to live for the temporary pleasures of this world when they're young, thinking, when I'm older, and I've had my fill of this world's pleasures, then I will turn to God? That is a dangerous presumption. What are you depending on that your heart will change later? The more sin you choose, the more sin you love. And the more sin you love, the more sin you choose. What will break that cycle? God offers sinners mercy today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Let's pray. Lord, you know each of our hearts. You know each of our lives, where we are and where we should be. We pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to your people and lead us into the paths of righteousness. Lord, we pray for those who are here and those who are listening, who are outside of Jesus Christ still. Open the eyes of those who need you, Lord, and shine the light that they may choose Christ. God, we thank you that you are merciful, that you will receive any sinner, and we pray that you would work in each of our hearts for all the things that we need. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.